What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Davidson Hang podcast, where I get to interview amazing people and help share their wisdom with the world. Let me know your takeaways and feel free to connect with the guests. I'm aiming to build a community around coaching, self-development, leadership, where people are not afraid to be their most authentic versions of themselves. You can find us on video by searching the Davidson Hang podcast on YouTube. Welcome and enjoy the ride. Hey, what's going on, everyone? I'm really excited to introduce you, Jackie Goldberg, who works at LinkedIn. You're the manager of customer success managers, right?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me, Davidson. I currently manage a team of eight in our LinkedIn Talent Solutions business at LinkedIn on the customer success side.
Awesome. And you also have so many other cool things that you're doing. So, you know, I know you're not just a manager, but you also have your own podcast and you're a coach. Are you actually still coaching as well?
I am. Yeah. So I'm very fortunate to be able to explore my passions and do some of my passionate work around self-development, personal growth at LinkedIn. So being really engaged with our employees around bringing mindfulness and compassion to the workplace. So as you mentioned, the podcast that I have is actually a LinkedIn sponsored podcast. It's called In the Arena, a LinkedIn Wisdom Podcast. And we talk about a lot of the topics that you love, Davidson, around personal growth and self-development, vulnerability, authenticity, transformation, all that good stuff. And I'm also a practicing life coach. So I have a coaching practice on the side. I have a few clients that I manage, you know, on top of my day job. And it just brings me so much joy to my life. And I absolutely love it.
That's awesome. Yes. It's I'm sure a lot of people ask you, like, how do you do it all, right?
You know, we can't do it all, but I do find that you make time for the things that are important to you and that you love. And I'm very passionate about balancing energy, and that's mental energy, physical energy, really taking care of yourself so that you can do the things that you love. And I think there's some other practices that I've adopted over time, things like saying no, delegating when I can, and just really being aware and conscious of how much I could take on, and just being open and having conversations about that. I think it's really important.
Yeah, before, because I feel like even within that statement, there's so much to unpack there. But so we did a little exercise with our mindfulness community, and I think one of the coolest quotes is when Sarah, who believes she's one of the people you manage, right?
So Sarah, yeah, I mean, I think Davidson, we should talk about our relationship because we have a pretty cool relationship. So I guess we met through the mindfulness community, right? During meditations, during some workshops, and, we also did the same coaching program, which we're really excited about that we both have that in common. So yeah, Sarah is someone who's part of the mindfulness community. She actually used to be on my team, but she moved teams internally. So no longer my direct report. But yeah, I'm curious what quote you have from her.
Well, I was like, I feel like that quote summarizes you in a nutshell. But she said, it's hard to maintain the same drive and focus lately, for sure. And we're doing this during the COVID crisis for people who are listening who might be way in the future. But when Jackie walks into a room, she brings with her focus. When she's working with you or speaking with you, she's fully present, not checking her phone or doing other things, but focused on what's happening in the now in a rare way that makes the other person feel heard and important.
Yeah, I thought you were going to share some wisdom that Sarah said on one of our meditation sessions. But you know what? I will take that quote from her about me. But that's really sweet that she said that.
And I'm curious as well, and just to give you guys additional context, I did this little exercise where I asked a bunch of people in the mindfulness community at LinkedIn, when Jackie walks into a room, what does she bring with her? And you know, a lot of people said, like, confidence, positive energy, compassion, intelligence, thoughtfulness, fully present, calming presence, peace, centeredness, grace, compassion. I think you had compassion like 10 times. And then positive energy, but like a lot, and then peace, calm. So a lot of these cool things. And then I came up with tranquility, harmony, halcyon, convergence, and wisdom. So I'm curious as to like how different that was from the words you got when you went through the year-long coaching program at Accomplishment.
Yeah, so this is a great exercise. And obviously, Davidson, we both were trained on it, and I've used it a handful of times. But it's really distilling someone's essence. And by asking that question that you asked, what does this person bring when they walk into a room? So, you know, what's really, I love that those responses of calm and compassion were what came up, because I've been working to cultivate those for probably the past year or two. And so when I actually went through my essence, I can share mine. Mine are authenticity, warmth, goddess, I have it right up here, connection, and catalyst.
Ooh.
And yeah. And I love that exercise, because it really helps you stay focused on who you are in the world and who you want to be, who you aspire to be in times when fear is taking over or when you're not in a great place. It allows you really to anchor down on what your best self looks like. But I felt very blessed and honored and smiled ear to ear when I heard some of those words, because again, I aspire to be at peace and calm and live a life of kindness and compassion for others.
Yeah. So it looks pretty in alignment, right? I think, yeah, it's all similar. I think obviously because we're in the context of a mindfulness community, right? That's what, and you're leading it. So that's what others like see you as. So I think, you know, the filter or the lens is more to like coming from a mindfulness filter.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I can see why it's a little bit more on the grace and ease and peace side.
Yeah. Well, I have found that mindfulness, so I started practicing meditation in 2017 and it thoroughly changed my life. It brought me so much more focus, more patience, more calm, less anxiety, less stress. You know, what Sarah said about, you know, being a good listener, like, you know, going through a coaching program, listening is the number one skill that you need as a coach. And through mindfulness or meditation, I should say, I was able to cultivate just paying attention to whoever I'm with, whatever conversation I'm in. And I owe so much of that to meditation. So it's not surprising that those words came up. And yet I've really made it a goal to meditate every day, which is why, you know, we have this mindfulness community going on right now during COVID. I recognized it was really important for me and really just to have, you know, selfishly accountability with a group of people who are like-minded and wanted to share this with me every morning doing this so that we can get through this challenging time. And I've realized just how important it is to make it a consistent practice.
Yeah. I'm so glad we do it every day. And it's been nice. Like even though sometimes I feel guilty, I'm like, oh, I'm walking the park, but I'm like, hey, at least, you know, like I'm at least, I feel like I'm working on it versus like, it, you know, without this, the daily, Monday through Friday, without that, I probably wouldn't be doing it as often. So I'm grateful that you've created that.
Yeah. No guilt. Release all the guilt. we benefit from your beautiful walks in the morning in the park that you're in.
I know, I remember the first time you're like, oh my God, those birds sound so lovely.
So lovely.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, you know, I know the program was a while ago, Accomplishment Coaching, but it sounds like, you know, what were some of like the high level, like elevated, big picture, like takeaways that you've gotten from that program?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say one of my biggest takeaways from that program, well, what was so great was, and for those of you who are listening who don't know, Accomplishment Coaching is a 12-month program in person to learn how to become a certified coach. And what is amazing about the program, and probably any coaching program, is that you have to do the work yourself throughout the entire time in order to then be a coach for someone else. So I always, you know, like to give the analogy, like if you're looking for a personal trainer, you're most likely going to want to find someone who is in shape, takes care of themselves, eats properly, works out every day. So they're doing the work themselves. It's very similar with us. I think that we have to be a leader in that sense where we have done the personal transformation work and are doing it. Transformation is a journey. And so continuing to, you know, wanting to improve ourselves so that we can make the world a better place by helping others. One of the biggest things that I took away from the program was the difference between circumstance and commitment. I've lived my life, and I see a lot of people living their lives based on circumstances. So kind of going through life almost on a roller coaster, something bad happens, you get angry. Something sad happens, or, you know, you get a tragedy happens, you get sad. And it's not to say that we don't have emotions. Of course we have emotions. Of course we have feelings. And yet we don't allow that to overtake us by the circumstances that are at play, like our external, you know, situation. What we can do though is really know and stay true to our values and what we're committed to in this world and live our life through that lens versus the circumstance. So when the circumstances change, you can continually go back to, well, what am I committed to? I'm committed to integrity. I'm committed to my values of family and health and connection. And, you know, rather than getting swept up by the things around you, you can deal with it. So I think the COVID-19 situation is a great one, right? Like, this brought so much challenge. It is bringing currently so much challenge and uncertainty to our lives. And we can, you know, be sad and depressed and complain and be a victim, or we can choose to recognize that things are tough and I'm going to do my best and stay committed to the things that are important to me in my life. I'm going to stay connected to my family, check in on the people that I love. I'm going to continue my mindfulness practice so I can feel really good in my skin during this time. I can get through the hard times. I'm going to do the good practices of journaling and gratitude and all of that. And it makes a world of a difference when you live your life based on what you're committed to versus your circumstances. It's something I never gave thought to before going through this coaching program. And it's something that I use a lot with my clients as I see them ride the roller coaster of life. And and really another lesson is that you have the ability to choose. You can always choose differently. You can always choose the mindset that you want to be in. And so, yeah, that was a big one for me. And I'm curious what some of your takeaways were, or if that was something that you also took away.
Yeah, that's a good question. For me, the easiest, and I would actually love to hear what your survival mechanism is. But yeah, for me, the survival mechanism was a big one, and then my life's purpose. So it's interesting because a lot of my actions, I'll tell you. So my life purpose is actually peace. And it's
great.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think through the podcast and my blog and my YouTube and my books, I realized like I'm trying to help people be able to find that peace within themselves. A lot of like people that are always in the constant state of doing. I'm definitely like a doer. And then the program helped me realize that like it doesn't necessarily matter like what you're doing, but it's like who you're being that affects that, you know. It was the Maya Angelou quote, where it's like people will always don't remember what you say, but they remember how you made them feel.
Yeah, I love that one.
So I think that's been more of a focus instead of just like, I'm going to run like 10 miles. I'm going to do, it's like, okay, like what is that for? It's like, oh, okay. So I could feel good about myself. So I could be an inspiration for other people that have had asthma or have had like, you know, like ADHD, for instance, like I was diagnosed, right? So it's like kind of like showing people that, hey, it's possible to be successful despite like coming from like a low income, you know, living off food stamps. And my mom was a refugee coming from Vietnam, you know? So it's like, despite like a rough upbringing, you can still find peace within yourself.
Oh yeah. I love that. I mean, you bring up a great point about the doing versus the being. That was a huge takeaway for me as well. I'm sure I can give you probably like 10 really solid takeaways from the program that I use day to day. But you're so right, right? It's not about what we're doing, but it's how we're being while we're doing the things that we're doing. And I do attribute mindfulness practices to allowing you to be very aware and present to the things that you're doing. I mean, scientifically, you know, research has shown that when you're doing an activity that you don't like, but you're present during it, like washing the dishes, for example, you actually get more like happiness and joy out of doing that than doing something you love, maybe like walking your dog is a treat, at least sometimes, right? But when you're not paying attention, you're not getting as much out of it. So there's actually a really big difference, but it just shows like how important it is to be, you know, while you're doing the things that you're doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think a good example for me that sounds weird to a lot of people is when I'm doing my laundry or when I'm folding clothes. Sometimes I'm in a good state where I'm just like being and I'm like, oh, this is nice. Like this is relaxing. Whereas before it'd be like, oh, like I have to, you know, relating to it like a chore instead of like, oh, this is like my David's alone time where I get to spend an hour just to kind of like chill out and just maybe read a book, you know, while I'm waiting for my clothes. So that's been,
yeah, exactly. And, you know, to your story, which I'm sure is inspiring to so many people who feel that they don't have the ability to choose. I'm sure something else that we could talk about is just being a victim, you know, being at effect of something versus being at cause and taking responsibility. I think that's a huge thing that we learned in accomplishment coaching is no matter what the circumstance in life, you have the ability to be at cause, to take responsibility for that. Even if you, you know, grew up on food stamps or had some, you know, hard challenges, it doesn't negate the challenging aspect of it. It doesn't negate that it wasn't hard. And it allows you the power to really own it and to move forward and choose. Or we can be a victim and we can be at effect of our circumstances in life versus deciding to take ownership of them.
Yeah, very well said. Oh my God, your dog's adorable, by the way.
Oh yeah, for anyone who's watching this on YouTube, you can see Penny in the background. Say hi, Penny.
Cute name.
Thank you.
I'm curious as to, so if you don't mind sharing, what is your survival mechanism? And do you still see it show up in your life still today?
You know what? I can't even remember. Is that so bad? Like I'm having a hard time. I remember one was righteous goody two shoes. Oh God. Motherless Mother Teresa. And something with a Care Bear. So I was, yeah, they were very relatable to where I was. I mean, I'm much better. Like I feel like I've transformed a lot, in terms of righteousness. The motherless Mother Teresa was an important one. I was a mother to so many people, but I didn't mother myself. And so I didn't parent myself. I didn't, you know, cultivate the self-compassion, the self-love, the worthiness. Mm-hmm. And that has changed a lot for me. And I think it was controlling Care Bear. I think it was controlling. Yeah. Which is something I'll say that continues to be something that I work on is just letting go, like in general, surrendering, letting go of expectations of being attached to perceived outcomes that I want. That's been a for sure a part of my journey and something that I practice daily.
Yeah. It's interesting because yeah, I could totally see like you're definitely Mother Teresa. You're definitely like a big old Care Bear. You know, you're very and yeah, actually, all of that makes a lot of sense. Like, obviously, like in our eyes, who you are to us in the LinkedIn community is definitely a mother. You know, definitely like a caretaker. Definitely someone who's like lovable and loving and always giving. So that's awesome. That's really cool.
You're filling my heart. Thank you, Davidson.
Yeah, and I'm actually switch gears a little bit, but it's kind of actually. I'm curious as to what some of your takeaways have been through your podcast. It's awesome because I'm seeing like the trajectory, and I see it continuous, like it's growing and evolving, and you know it's like one of your babies.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, the podcast. So we are recording our 33rd episode this week. It's a bi-weekly podcast, so we release 2 episodes a month. It's a conversation between me and Leah Smart, who is one of my colleagues at LinkedIn and also one of my really good friends. We actually met each other in August of 2018. We were actually put together or put in touch by my old manager, who ended up becoming her manager. And really in the spirit of we were both looking at different coaching programs. Maybe it was August of 2017 then. Huh. No, August of 2018. You know what? I don't even remember now. So in any event, we got put in touch with one another and we just hit it off. And You know, we were sitting on her couch one day and just having these like really deep conversations that we just found ourselves getting into. And we said, we would love to have a podcast. Like, people would benefit from hearing some of this. We both were so passionate, are so passionate about self-development, personal growth. And yeah, we were, you know, we pitched it to LinkedIn, to the head of mindfulness and compassion programs, and he loved it. And we just started there. Cool. So majority of the episodes are just a conversation between me and Leah, and we pick different topics that we find we're working through in our own lives, or we found that have helped us in the past. So we have episodes on transformation, on career, on self-compassion and cultivating a self-compassion practice, family, giving back, and how to cultivate a community. I mean, kind of runs the gamut. And we are actually doing our next episode around letting go, because this is something that we found we both have challenges with, and yet, you know, are have also overcome in certain ways, kind of like get us on the right path for the benefits of what happens when you let go. So in terms of learning, we do a lot of interviews, not a lot of interviews, but we did 4 interviews in 2019. And this year we've already done 4 interviews. So we really increased that. We found that our listeners do really enjoy hearing other people's perspectives. And we've also changed kind of like the arc of our episodes. So we really try to focus when we interview someone on this from me to we arc. So learning about the person and who they are as a person and kind of how they've cultivated some of this wisdom and then what they're doing to bring that into the world and how they're impacting others. I mean, in terms of learnings, I think there's a lot, like just from being a podcaster. I mean, one of the things was that we had to move to home podcasting when COVID hit. So we had a studio in LinkedIn that we were, you know, taking advantage of, and we had to kind of figure out how to do this from home, but we did it. Just in terms of how we are, our chemistry, how we prepare for our podcast episodes, what we really want our listeners to take away, how to break that fourth wall, really meaning how do you talk to your listeners? How do you make sure that you're engaging them throughout the podcast? There's a lot of learnings, and we are not perfect, and we have still so much growth to do. But I think the biggest thing is that it's fun, and we enjoy doing it. And our listeners, we have some really devoted fans that just keep our spirits high when we get down on, you know, a certain episode or what's to come. So yeah, I'll never stop learning with it, but it's been such a fun experience.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can definitely relate. So your episode, this is episode 50, and I feel—
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, and I feel like I've learned similarly along the way, like how to continuously engage, like how to give exercises to you so that they can take away from it. What, like, kind of, and even within our episode, right? Like, what did I want to get out of like speaking with you, right? Because I do think there's so many podcasts out there. There's so many, like, you know, it's hard to, and I think a lot of people are into it, but I think like the beginning of it's very powerful, like how you market or how you write, like a lot of like teasers. You know, I think Adrian taught me that, like, speak in headlines. So it's kind of like how to be concise with your messaging. How, almost like, how can you like tease the audience where it's like, all right, this is something that you should listen. You should spend 25, 30 minutes of your day listening to.
For so, sure.
Like, there's been so many takeaways along the way.
Yeah. I find a big one is storytelling. People really like to hear stories. It's relatable. It kind of breaks the ice. It brings out vulnerability and authenticity, and it just increases connection and empathy. And those are all beautiful things to cultivate. So people like hearing stories. And so Leah and I do try and share our own stories throughout each of the episodes so that they're, you know, you're able to connect some of the either actions or exercises that we're talking about and how we've like used them in our personal lives.
Yeah. So that's a good question then. Would you share with us the story of how you came about choosing accomplishment coaching? Because it sounds like you, yeah, it's always interesting when I hear stories about why people decided to do the program.
Yeah, for sure. So I knew I wanted to be a life coach since I was 19. So I was a psychology major in college, and I knew I didn't want to be a therapist, mainly because I'm just a very future forward thinking person, and therapy is past based. And I also knew that I wanted to be in corporate, like work with a lot of people, be in a dynamic workplace. I'm someone who thrives off of energy and connection of others. And therapy felt very one-on-one focused, you know, throughout the day. So when I was exploring different options my junior year of college, I came across life coaching online, and I called my dad up at the time and I said, "Dad, I know what I want to do with my life." And he said, "What?" And I said, "I want to be a life coach." And he said, "Jackie, how can you be a life coach? You have no life experience." And I was like, "Well, I just really want to help people be their best selves and inspire others to live their best lives." He was like, "Why don't you put it on the back burner and get a real job?" is literally what he told me. So, you know, as a 19-year-old who was very close with her dad, I listened to him. And I went into HR because that was the closest I can get to a people function while getting into corporate and working with adults. So I've really only been at two companies, Bloomberg for 5 years and then LinkedIn for 5 years. And during that time, I experienced life. I went through a divorce. I went through my own personal transformation. I started getting really into self-help. I started meditating. I mean, all these different practices. And I felt my life changing in a really beautiful way. And I was very lucky because Kaylin McDuff, who is a graduate of accomplishment coaching, was in the same organization as I was at LinkedIn within customer success. And she raved about accomplishment coaching. So once I was like ready to explore it and it felt right, I did an observation and I really liked what I saw. I also did the 5-hour workshop that they offer where you can kind of uncover some of your goals and your vision that you're looking for in your life, and just felt really connected and great. So I did my due diligence. I joined a few other observations for other coaching programs. The reason I landed on AC was because I really wanted the community. I loved that AC was in person for 12 months, that it was the same cohort of about 24 people every month. So you're really cultivating a community and a family. And I was ready for that. I was ready for some new people in my life that were like-minded. And that was really the draw for me. It was just being in person with the same group of people each month. And I can't say I loved every second of it. There were times that were so hard and so a lot of tears, but that's because you're doing the work yourself. So, but I did get so much out of it and I'm super grateful for that. And yesterday I hit my 100th hour. So I'll be applying for my ACC, cool, in the next few weeks.
That's awesome. Maybe you can support me in that goal because I had a coaching practice for a while and then I just stopped just because like, I feel like I'm doing a lot. But yeah, so we can talk about that offline.
Sure.
If you don't mind me asking, like, would you be willing to share one of these moments where you, or that you cried about? Cause I do think that, you know, yeah, I cried. I think I cried literally 180 days out of the 365 days. And cried so much.
Oh man. I'm happy to share. I just need to think of a specific example. We could take the first day, right? Like, you know, you stand up in front of a room and you talk about why you're there and the coaches ask you some really deep questions that get right at like the arc as to kind of what's holding you back. Mm-hmm. And I remember crying. So this was a good one. So growing up, we did this exercise in accomplishment coaching where you thought of a time in your childhood, usually around like 5, 6, 7, you know, 8 years old, where something happened that stuck with you and that was like very inherent with you. It feels a little therapeutic, but they really use this as a way to kind of build. And my thing was that I grew up believing that I was a selfish person. And I overheard my mom one time telling her friend that I was selfish, and I just embodied that throughout my entire life. And I truly believe that because I felt that I was selfish inherently, it helped me from loving myself fully. Mm. It helped from loving myself fully. It also, prevented me from having a full voice and like self-expression because I was always hesitant that I would come off as selfish. Mm. And it also allowed me to do things for other people that I didn't cultivate or do for myself. So putting myself second. So throughout the program, I really learned to shift that and be, and A, disregard that, like, get rid of that belief that I'm selfish, but also then allow myself to be the front runner, right? Take care of myself and do things for myself so that I can do for others. And I remember in that moment when I really hit me about being selfish and like how much that was holding on to, I was holding on to that for so long. I mean, that was a ton of tears, right? Just feeling all those feelings and then being able to release it over time was, you know, liberating, but also obviously tough.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. I had like a very similar story, and I think we're both givers. Like anyone who knows any of us would probably say that. And I also had a story about how I was being selfish in my relationships with my significant others. So I think I've dated like 14 different like women in my past, and my story was like that I was like an asshole. Like I was like treated mm-hmm. them like wrong and all this, but in reality, like it was just a story, but I did clean it up. Like I did eventually like call all of them and kind of just admit like, hey, like, you know, just kind of like owned up and just be responsible for my actions.
Wow.
That like really gave me the space to kind of like, just like, okay. And then after I did that, now I'm, you know, it's easier for me to put myself first, but I do think, you know, it's a practice like with anything else. Like I do think there's been so many years of trying to like overcompensate that, you know, it's still like my natural is still to give. But to your point, like having balance and being okay to say no and take on projects that really are in alignment with your values versus like what other people's values and goals are and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks for sharing. That's amazing. Yeah, I remember the first day was like so intense. Like I was just like, oh, this is a lot.
I remember calling my mom at the end of the weekend and saying I made a big mistake.
Really?
And I was like, I don't think I could do this. But then I did it and I'm so glad I did. It's hard work. And I think that's a big thing is that, you know, transformation work is really difficult. It's why not everyone does it. Yeah. It's, you know, people shy away from it. It's hard. It's scary. It's brings up a lot of fears, a lot of guilt from the past. And there's so much goodness that comes out into putting the time and the energy into working on yourself. Mm. I just feel like I'm such a better human. Like in my skin, I am a better person in my skin. I'm way more aligned to who I am than I ever was. And now I get to, you know, share that with other people as well.
Yeah. And I'm curious as to, did you have any guests come visit you during the program?
The only guest I had was my mother. My mom came towards the very end of the program. And that was so special having her there to see the observation, and I got to acknowledge her, and you know, she acknowledged me. It was like the sweetest thing.
Yeah. That was so similarly when my mom and my sisters came and their boyfriends at the time, that was like so touching. And then she was crying and then I was crying and then everyone was like, you know, you wipe your tears the same way as your mom does. Like it was really sweet.
You really feel all the feels in that program. You gotta be up for feeling the feels.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your story. I feel like this has been a really insightful conversation, Jackie. I just want to acknowledge you just because I feel like, because I think there's what we call like the woo-woo world, right? Some people say some coachy stuff is like, it's like, oh, it's all theory, like, you know, and then there's people that actually like implement a lot of the lessons that we learn, right? But I feel like you have a really good balance of like, you know, what I guess Tony Robbins would call it, like the masculine energy where you're like getting stuff done, you're organizing these meetings, you're like leading, right? But then you also have equally balance the compassion, the listening, the emotional intelligence. So I feel like that's what makes you such a powerful leader because you do have both, right? You're not just, you know, you're listening, but then you're also like, all right, here's the plan, implement it, boom. You know, there's results that come from it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thanks for being you.
Thank you so much for the acknowledgement. And I would love to acknowledge you because you bring just so much kindness and compassion and beauty to LinkedIn. I mean, every room you step into, I mean, people know who you are. You're so gracious and graceful and just full of heart. And it's like really just so warming to be around. And we're really lucky to have you as part of the mindfulness community. Thank you for doing things like this, for, you know, going to people and asking them, you know, what people bring in the room. But you have these amazing posts on LinkedIn where you're constantly, you know, sharing out gratitude. And it's just, it's really inspiring, I think, to people. So thank you for everything that you're doing as well. And I'm so glad that we've had the chance to connect and build our own relationship at LinkedIn, and just excited for what's to come.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, I think one of the takeaways I've gotten from, because I think LinkedIners inherently are just very ambitious people, right? So I think sometimes we feel like, you know, people like you and Leah and people that, you know, you can argue are like the top of the food chain, right? I think sometimes we're like, oh, they're so busy. Like, I don't think they have time like to chat and stuff like that, right? So I think sometimes it is hard. And I think when I talk to a lot of the younger folks who aren't managers at LinkedIn, they're always like, oh, I'm so afraid to reach out to so-and-so because they're a manager or they're a global account manager or whatever it is. But I would say, you know, I would challenge you that, you know, just do it. And even if they say, hey, like, speak to me in a couple weeks from now, or put some time on my calendar in June, you know, I reached out to Leah and she said, put some time in late June. But hey, like, at least I did it, right? Versus a lot of the younger people and people in general, I think across the board, like outside of LinkedIn, I think sometimes people are afraid because they see that, you know, someone's so busy and they're like, oh, like, I don't want to, you know, waste their time. But I would challenge them and say that you should reach out. Like, the worst that can happen is they say no for right now. Right.
Of course. Yeah. I totally agree with that. And people, you know, people want to make time for the most part. I think, like, good-hearted people, you know, want to make time. And I think we work at a company for sure where people want to help others and be there and do, you know, talk to others. So you don't know if you don't try, right? So,
right.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Jackie. We'll hope you have an amazing rest of your week and we'll chat soon.
Thank you for having me.